Actually, somebody from this church helped name this ministry. A guy named Chris Larrison was here years ago, and his girlfriend at the time, wife later, they crawled into a Bible study that I had in my home for people coming out of addiction and incarceration, and Chris was there, and I was fortunate to be on staff at a church, St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, for a while, and I was teaching a message on the woman at the well. And Chris and Lexi had come and heard it, still very new in their recovery. And when I was trying to figure out what the heck to name this nonprofit that was starting to outgrow our capacity, we were encouraged to make it a nonprofit. I said, what are we going to name this thing? And Chris Larrison said, and he was at his place, he and Lexi, he said, shouldn't it be something about the lady at the well, right? And I didn't, and so I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So that's when it started to develop, and I found out that the name Northeast of the Well comes out of the book of John, where a woman has a critical encounter with Christ, and Jesus meets her in her brokenness. He comes to her. She doesn't have to go to him. And she goes back to her community, like many of you do, many of us do, to the people that we know desperately need to hear the word. And the place that she went back to was Northeast of the Well. So that's the heart of what we do. We go to people that are in desperate need. We go back to the communities, many that we've come out of, to share the gospel. I'm going to come out of the book of Luke this morning because I believe it's our charge, and this church does a really good job of outreach, but I'm here to encourage you and remind you of what your purpose is. You have one purpose. Actually, you have two. You have a purpose. You have to go therefore, right? Go therefore, and that's out. That's that song that we sang this morning, The Heart of Worship, was so great. I'm going to bring you more than a song. He wants our lives. He wants our action. He wants our bodies to go serve him. So we're called to go out and serve him. We come to him so we can go serve for him. And then we make disciples. And Joe said it, our job, our call, and we're all trying to do that, is to make disciples. So this video we're going to kick it off with today before we hear a couple testimonies of people that actually are doing this and going out, modeling what Luke 10 says. So if you're going to open your Bibles in just a minute, we're going to look at Luke 10. But this video was just filmed a week ago Friday night, and we're doing a lot of human trafficking, a lot of work going out into the streets and working with the girls and guys that are being trafficked on the streets. So I think this video is a great way to kick off and back up what the scripture is.
All the girls out here are victims. We're focusing on juveniles, minors,
yeah,
and on the traffickers themselves. So right now, we have undercover officers out here. They said they look really young. So right now we're just doing an age check. We have a fingerprint machine out here to make sure if they don't have their ID on them, happens sometimes. Just make sure who they are. And then we offer them resources. Granted, they're always hesitant to talk to us cops. So we have resources at the station. But the fact that you guys are out here, they're more than likely willing to talk to you guys.
They do.
So
they do. Night is true.
Touch, because this is a good, healthy
there
touch.
There is no distance. Cannot be covered over and over. You're not defensive. I'll be your shelter. I'll be your armor. I hear your rest, so it's
I was living in hotels for 3 months. I had my dad helping me pay for them. And it just was becoming unaffordable. So I moved out here and I'm trying to get my life together. I don't have to be out here. You know, I could work, but it's just a second option. It's just an outlet for me.
Good morning, His Place family. My name is Lisa, and His Place is my church, but I want to share that I am beyond blessed to be able to serve with an amazing ministry northeast of the Well. Right there, we were Friday night, and it was on Figueroa Street in South Central LA, and I am just blessed to be able to minister to the young ladies and girls that are out there. We let them know that they are loved, that they are seen, and that they are beyond precious, and that no child of God is exempt from the Lord's saving grace. About myself, the Lord delivered me from a lifetime of addiction to methamphetamine, heroin, alcohol, and pills. He also delivered me from mental afflictions, diagnoses that the doctor said I would always be on medications for, psych meds, but I've been delivered from that. I've been delivered from prostitution, from homelessness, from incarceration. My life was a complete chaotic mess, but one day I found myself August 22nd, 2019, in jail, and that was the day that I decided to surrender to the Lord, to give my will and my life to Him, and He met me where I was at. He pulled me out of the pit of destruction, and He set my feet on a solid rock. So as I'm putting my life back together, I was in a sober living home, Action Alliance. In fact, Action Alliance is here today. Can we give them a hand? And that's where I met Northeast of the Well, when they brought a Bible study into one of the 22 programs that they go to throughout the week. I met them, I became an advocate and a community member for Northeast. And now I've been working with them for just over 2 years as an outreach coordinator. And my life today, I know what peace is, I have a relationship with my family, with my friends, and most importantly with God. And now I get to go back into that same sober living home. I am the outcast that has become the witness. I get to share the word of God in that program and many others. August 22nd, 2019 was just over 5 years ago, and that's when I celebrated, 3 days ago is when I celebrated my 5 years of sobriety. And I stand on Romans 10:13 that says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you. I'm going to hand it over to Freddie to share his testimony as well. Thank you.
Wow, what a testimony, Lisa. Good morning, church. My name is Freddie Hernandez, and I'm 27 years old. And this morning, I could actually say that I'm happy and I have peace. The reason I say that was I grew up in Orange County. My family raised me. They were part of my life. But unfortunately, darkness made its way and crept in. At a young age, I was sexually abused, and I didn't know what to do with that. We were going to church, and they were talking about how good God is and how He loves me. But then this happened, and I was just so angry, so depressed, so ashamed, so much guilt and disgust. I didn't know what to do with that, but when I got into high school, when I would drink, when I would smoke, all that shame and guilt, it was gone. I didn't have to feel that. I felt happy. And I kept trying to do that, but my parents said, in this house we serve the Lord, and we're not going to let you keep doing this. So the door's right there if you want to take that. And out of, again, this anger and this bitterness, and I thought you loved me and you guys love God, this doesn't make sense, I took that route. And found myself in a 6-year meth and heroin addiction, in and out of jail. For 2 years, I was homeless on the street, and that's where I found my home. And eventually, over time of getting locked up and doing the same cycle of going in trash cans for my fix, for my meal, for just to get away from what I was dealing with, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And even though I was angry at God, cursed Him, and did everything I could to get even with Him, He was the one that I cried out to. I was simply on a bus stop across from where my parents lived, thinking I could ride the bus during COVID because there was Wi-Fi. I wasn't going to get arrested if I was on the bus, and I can take a nap to nod off from the drugs. That's what I was doing for 3 days. But instead, I just said, you know what, God, I'm done. Tell me what to do. And for Him to just that small, gentle whisper to say, go home. And doing so, I ran home, and my parents knew of this program called Teen Challenge. And in August 2020, was when I entered the doors of Teen Challenge, and ever since then, my life has changed. It's interesting how God works, because in that program, we were locked down during the pandemic, but Northeast of the Well was still doing Zoom call chapels for us. So most of the staff here, like Gail and Laura, they were doing worship through Zoom, and that could be a pain, but they got it done. They did the word, and there was something in me, again, that shame, that disgust, that guilt, that I just felt like, I can't do this Christian walk. I can't build this why would he want to build a relationship with me? And it was just one of those nights with Northeast of the Wall where they just broke it down so simple, so much truth. All the lies were just removed, and I said, you know what, God, I receive your love. I accept this. I want you more. So I completed the year-long program, went to this Bible college of Teen Challenge up in Southgate, and again, ran into Northeast of the Well. And I was doing an internship for Teen Challenge, and they're like, hey, we need a worship leader to come to our Bible studies. I didn't learn the guitar at a young age. I tried to do it in my diction, but eventually the guitar disappeared. Don't know what happened to it. But in Teen Challenge, worship was just my way to build that relationship of intimacy with God. And so I picked it up in the program, and I said, Laura, I know a couple things, but I'm not that good. And she's like, that's fine. Just come tonight. And once we one Bible study, I said, this is what I want to do. I want to go out. I want to go out to those that also felt the things that I felt, the shame and the guilt and all the things that we've done in our past, holding us back from embracing this truth. And so now I've been with Northeast for about 2.5 years. I'm part of their worship, IT, developing communications. And it's funny because I just wanted to get sober. But God was like, I got more for you. And this actually past week, I actually just got engaged to my fiance who's here. We wanted to get married at the Bible college after we graduated, but God was like, hold on, wait a minute. She's actually been working at Ventura Teen Challenge up there. And so now that we're engaged, we're just continuing to trust God in what he has, his plans. And the verse that I stand on is actually Galatians 6:9. It says, do not draw weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. My encouragement to us is, and for myself, is the things of following God can get tiresome and wearisome. But again, God just continues to be faithful and show up and show us this great harvest. So thank you, church.
So what we hear is that I was sought and I was rescued, right? You know, and then there we have a story, but then there's the story, you know, the story. And the story is that we know that God does not want us to be isolated. Our Christian faith is community based. Remember that, because sometimes we want to do things by ourselves. In fact, it's real clear in the scriptures. Jesus makes it real clear that the scripture we're going to read today is that he sends us out in twos. He sends us out for many, many reasons, but he intentionally says in the book of Luke, and then he sent the 72 out in twos so we don't do this by ourselves. And the goal for us here, and many of you, you're becoming inwardly strong through your gathering of the saints, right? That's what you're doing. You're gathering up today. These are the gathering of the saints. You become inwardly strong so you can be outwardly focused. That's the call. There's nothing about sitting here and staying here and not going out there. That's not the plan. We said the heart of worship is not about, I'm going to bring you more than a song. He wants our lives. He wants our action. He wants our commitment. He wants our availability. I worked in a church for 11 years, and two of the main reasons that people do not do missions, two things. One, it's not convenient. They have to do it around their schedule. That never works. And two, they have fear. And the Bible addresses both of those things. All throughout the scriptures, it says what? Fear not. I am with you. Fear not. Because we don't do this on our own. We get prayed up as we did this morning. Pastor Joe brought us in there. We prayed for the service. Tim and I prayed in the car, prayed with Lisa before. We get prayed up. We pray up so we can ask the Lord of the harvest what we need to do. My old pastor, Bill Flanagan, my mentor, who pulled me out of the pit. He had a plaque on his desk and it said, ready, fire, aim, right? And that's how I used to live and I still do sometimes and I have to back it up, right? Because we have to ready, pray, and then go. And that's what he says, ask the Lord of the harvest. He calls us to him. If you hear anything today, remember this. He calls us to him so that we can go out for him. He calls you to him so you are being equipped to go out for him. That's your job. That is our call. That is your purpose. You don't have to be confused. Whatever you do during, that's your job, wherever God has put you to be. I met Barbara on Skid Row 25 years ago. She was down there working at a place. I think it was called Beans, Rice, and Jesus Christ or something. And I went down there with a couple people and I thought, who are these people down here? I was brand new to my faith and I had no idea what I was doing. I was in over my head, but I brought these two kids from a learning center that I was working in and I wanted to show them that they didn't have it so bad in the ghetto. We were going to go to Skid Row. And I took him in my car and I ran into Barbara. I've known Barbara for 25 years. And then I started to do ministry with Barbara and a gal who was an ex-prostitute named Jerry who went through Teen Challenge. And that's how we all stay connected. So I know before you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, these people are old and they're talking to me. But there's some roots here and there's some remnants. And you're going to be there sometime and you're going to say, oh, I remember meeting them when I was doing mission work. And it's going to remind you of who you are and who you represent. That's what it does when we get to see each other. It's like C.S. Lewis talks about it in The Great Divorce when he talks about those blinking lights. He says, person on the bus goes, who are all those people out there? And the bus driver who's filled with the Spirit and is telling somebody who doesn't know, he says, oh, those are the solid people. Those are the solid people out there. Those are the lights. And that's what you're being called and equipped to do is be, you are that. You just need to step out into that. I'm going to read out of the book of Luke. I love the Message translation. Some of you may or may not. It's just it's a word of God, but it's a translation. I'm just going to read Luke 10, and then we're going to go through the scripture real briefly. First of all, it says that in Luke 9, Jesus sends out the 12. And he tells us them to go out into pairs. And, you know, basically when he sends us out, he's basically telling us to say, we would love for you to meet Jesus. That's what he's basically inviting us to do. We go out so we can go for him. And it says in Luke 10, it says, later the master, after he sent out 12, now he's sending out 72. And he says, later the master selected 72 and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and every place where he intended to go. He gave them this charge. What a huge harvest and how few harvest hands there are. So on your knees, ask the Lord of the harvest to send harvest hands. On your way, he says, be careful. This is hazardous work. You're like the lambs in a wolf pack. Travel light, comb, toothbrush, no extra luggage. Don't loiter and make small talk with everyone that you see along the way. When you enter a home, greet the family, peace. If the greeting is received, then it's a good place to stay. But if it is not received, take it back, get out, don't impose yourself. Stay at one home, taking your meals there, for a worker deserves 3 square meals. Don't move from house to house looking for the best cook in town. Oh, we see this, don't we? We laugh because we know this is true. This wasn't really what I had expected, right? When you enter a town and are received, eat what they set before you. Heal anyone who is sick and tell them, God's kingdom is right near your doorstep. It's not here yet, but it's near. When you enter a town and are not received, Go out in the streets and say, the only thing we've got from you is the dirt on our feet, and we're giving it back. Right? Don't even take that rejection with you. Did you have any idea that God's kingdom was right at your doorstep? Then he goes on to say, Sodom will have a better day on Judgment Day than the town that rejects you. Doom Chorazin, doom Bethesda. If Tyre and Sidon had been given half the chance you'd been given, they'd have been on their knees long ago, repenting and crying for mercy. They will have it easy on Judgment Day compared to you. And you, Capernaum, we know Jesus was from Capernaum, right? Look at Mark 2. He went back home to Capernaum. And you, Capernaum, do you think you're about to be promoted to heaven? Think again. You're on a mudslide to hell. The one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And rejecting me is the same as rejecting God who sent me. The 72 came back triumphant. Master, even the demons danced to your tune. Right? Finally, he says, and Jesus said, I know, I saw Satan fall, a bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you. Safe passages as you walk. Here's our charge. As you walk on snakes and scorpions and protection from every assault from the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. All the same time, they triumphed over that because the authority had been given by God, and his God's presence goes with us. And we must not think that just because the number has expanded that the problem is any less worse. And I don't think that that was something you thought of, but sometimes the vast amount of people doing something, you'll say, well, I'm not needed. That's a good excuse. And then the other one is the problem is too big that we're looking at, so I'm not going to make a difference. Those are two things. It's not from God. God would not tell you either one of those things. So he tells us that he wants us to go out to men and women and continue to say, we would love you to meet Jesus and not worry that you're not getting the response that you want. And nor should we think that these unnamed band of ragtag people, which is this community, it's us. We are these people. The qualifications isn't to have some great resume. The Bible talks about that. Look up Luke 9. It doesn't, and maybe some of you do have great resumes, but God doesn't care about your resume. He cares about what you do to serve him. And the only reason why you have the resume for whatever is to get into a door so you can serve him. It is not for your own. We go out in order to serve him. And when we get tripped up is when we start doing it on our own. And we start looking for results that we think we want to see, and God already knows, and he's gone ahead of us. We did not expect to run into that police officer when Lisa and I and 7 or 8 of us were out there last Friday night. But the police were out there because there were so many young girls. And just prior to that, we said, man, there's so many young girls out there. Usually we're out there and we see them there. Young, but they're still 18, 19, 20. These girls were 14, 15 years old. And we were saying in our group, as we went out and kept coming back and reporting to each other, there's a lot of young girls out here. All of a sudden, we head into 4 cop cars that were placed on the street, and they had a piece of equipment that fingerprinted the girls so they could find out if they were underage or not, because the girls don't have anything on, so they don't have any place to put their ID. And so they were fingerprinting them. But it's true. I mean, it's not funny. It's a reality. It's a reality of what we see out there. And that's just a snapshot of the darkness that we see. And there was one kid on a bike, and he's the runner. He's the one that takes money from the girl and gives it to the pimp. That's all in that little scenario. And we don't see these things till we start going out. But you can't see it on a video. You got to be out there. It's like going to Disneyland and sticking around in the gift shop. You're not going to get it. You can't get the rest of it unless you go out in two. So he sends this group out, this ragtag group of individuals like you that have a heart. And you want to serve, you want to, but fear gets in your way, and you don't feel equipped. God will equip us. It says right here, ask the Lord of the harvest, and on your knees, you ask him to show you. We didn't think all of a sudden when we said, man, there's some young girls out here. We always debate if we should call the police when we're out there. On, you see a girl 14 or 15, you call the police. But we're not, sometimes we're not sure, and we don't want the pimps and everybody out there to keep thinking we're calling the police because we have access out there every Friday night. So we all of a sudden ran into the police, and then they're telling us that they need us. They said, you can meet, talk to these girls like we can't. Now we have a connection out there with them. We didn't see that coming. That's God opening doors for us, and we didn't say that night. Let's hope that we get to run into the police and they support us down here. It's so much bigger than what we thought. And then we have girls that we point and we find out that they're in programs, and we find that we get to minister to them. But just like it, when Jesus sends us out, we look for other people to do solve the problem. And all you need to do is have your ministry of presence when you go out there. You walk, and that's not just in the street. Every single place can be your mission field. You think that's not, I don't believe that. It can. Every single place you walk into can be your mission. When you shop at Ralph's, that can be your mission field. You can ask God in the car before you get out, let me run into somebody that you want me to give a squeeze of encouragement in your name. I was in a memory care facility yesterday ministering to people, and this one lady told me her name was Mary, and I said, Mary's the best name you could have. And I've never said that to anybody before, right? And not because I have anything special. God gave me that because I asked him, help me know what to say to some of these people who are losing their minds, but God wants to minister to their soul, right? When we go out, we don't talk, we don't tell people we're a religion. We don't say we're from Rock Harbor or his place or St. Andrews or a Catholic church. We basically say when we get out of the car and on the streets, we'll say to them, we're from the church. And when they first heard that we were going to do that, I thought, I'm not going to do that. I thought, well I'm not going to offend people. It doesn't offend people at all. We're safe for them. We represent what is right no matter where they've come from. And that is true. You start going out with us or somebody else, and you'll find out they welcome you. We get out of the car and we say, we're from the church. And they say, okay. And we bring them gift bags. We have water bottles, condoms. We bring them a phone number to get out of the life. We go and we pray for them. But we don't tell them we've been through a church. We just say we are representing God, right? We don't say any kind of an organization. We don't make it political. We say, I have met the master of the living God, because we're not into religion. We're not in being a church attender, going to a Bible study, being in a small group. That does not equip you to give your testimony with authority to somebody out there, because that stuff, you need to own it and have the burden to do that. We pray for the burden. Pray for the burden of the gospel. When you see things, when you go out, you cannot unsee them. But see, part of the thing we do, part of the thing I did for church, years at going to a church, is I didn't go out and look at it, so I had no burden for it. I didn't have a discomfort for it. But once I see it, and I see the disconnect, and I see the evilness of it, and you get snapshots of it, you can't unsee it. Now you're burdened by it. Now you're discomforted, and it will compel you, or it should compel you, to do something about it. God does not show you that stuff so you feel better about yourself. And that's what most people say. I'm sure glad I don't live like that. What do you say to that? You know, we are called, we are equipped to go out for him. So we need to go see what he wants about his business to be about the Father's business. Jesus says, go therefore. Nothing about sitting. Go therefore and make disciples. And we do baptize people. We baptized 7 people last week from 3 different programs. That's right. And we don't just do that lightly. We know it's an important thing. We know that we just don't, it's not a feeling. We want to, you know, we baptize somebody from Liddy's here today from her program. We make sure as much as we can that they know that this is not, they're not getting saved. They've already received Christ. This is the next step of one's faith. This is all part of our walk. But northeast of the well, our strategic plan is Luke 10. It is the marching orders. No one's rewriting a strategic plan. It tells us exactly what to do. Now I'm going to look at it can you go back to the beginning in Luke 10? Yeah. Later, If you open up your Bibles, you have Bibles? Open them up. Luke 10. Now see if you hear it. Hear it differently. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of them in every town and place where they were about to go ahead for him. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go out. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. And do not greet anyone on the way." I used to wonder when I read this when I was doing missions. Why would they say don't bring stuff, and why would they tell you not to talk to people? We were just encouraged to because we get off focus. Jesus is very clear to say don't get distracted about what the mission is. Often we will be going on a mission, we'll be doing something, and then we'll run into two people. Oh, we know them, and we start talking to them. We get distracted, or something will keep us from what we're supposed to do. And he tells us to don't take a bag or a purse. Basically, he says, keep it light. Don't take your prejudices with you. Don't take your opinions of these people with you. Don't even take your own opinions of yourself with you, because it will keep you from being effective. If there's somebody out there that you do not feel that is worthy of you serving, you are not a servant. It is a good word. I learned it. Actually, it was put in my face, because I didn't particularly want to minister to these people that I was supposed to minister to. And somebody said, then you're not a servant, Laura. That's what he says. Don't take a bag. Don't take a purse. And it's referred to in Luke 9 when the disciples are when he's feeding the 5,000 and around them, and he says, there's too many people, we don't have enough. And then the disciples ask Jesus, why don't you feed them? And Jesus says, why don't you feed them? Why don't you take care of them? And then he tells them, and then who steps up is a kid, right? We know the story, a kid with a couple loaves of bread and a fish. And God uses the small child. God uses the one that has nothing to negotiate with. See, that's what it is. When it says you have to enter the kingdom like a small child, no, you're not a servant unless you can serve like a child. I believe that's what it means. That's what the Lord tells us in his word. That unless you go, if you think you have something to give them, then God, you think God needs you. God doesn't need us. If we come with hands open like a child, like a three-year-old, when you have a three-year-old, the three-year-old doesn't have anything to negotiate. The older we get, we have more to negotiate. I'll do this for this. I'll do this for you if you do this. And I promise you, I'll do this many hours. We know how to negotiate. Come like a kid with your hands open. You got nothing to negotiate. You are absolutely dependent on God. And that's a powerful place to be. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not burden yourself with a bunch of stuff that you're going to rely on. I've been on mission trips in Ethiopia, and people said, well, I have to have a certain amount of water. I have to do this. We don't take them, because we couldn't. We could not take people that had too many rules that they needed. There's enough rules that you find out when you get on a mission trip. Some of you have been on mission trips, I'm assuming, right? For a week or two, you go and you see a whole different world, and you step into a world and you don't have your comforts. You don't have your phone. You don't have all of that stuff. That's what God said. We don't want anybody walking around with phones on a mission trip, checking their texts and checking. But this is what happens, because we all do it. We don't even like phones on our table in our staff meetings. Get them away. Be focused on the person in front of you. I recently went on a trip, and it was wonderful. In this restaurant, it had this sign. It said, "Welcome to our restaurant." It said, "We have no Wi-Fi." It says, "Please talk to the person sitting across from you. Pretend that it's 1984. Right? Wouldn't that be great? It was great. I actually talked to my daughter for an hour. But that's another distraction that happens when we go on the mission field. We bring our stuff. We have the right to our stuff. And he sends this group out. And we know that the odds are stacked against us, right? We're not just talking about street outreach. I'm talking about anything you're going to do in your workplace. Wherever you work, where in your workplace. The odds are stacked against you because everyone's not a Christian in there. And they're not talking about what Pastor Joe or Pastor Chris preached. And you're not getting excited about the worship team. They don't care. They don't care. And not only do they not care, they're annoyed with you. But the odds are stacked against us when we go out because we're outnumbered. See, he shows us a very vulnerable picture in this scripture after he says, do not take a bag or a purse. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Right out of the gate, he's telling us, sheep are going to get devoured. And it's a very, very vivid picture. Wolves and lambs, wolves ravage lambs. And I'm sending you out. And the vast number of need is greatly disproportionate to what is out there. We were out there on Friday night and there was 9 of us that I could see. And there was probably 300 people. We see 50 to 60 girls a night out there. And those are just the ones we talk to. So we could say there's just too many. And what does the prospect of victory look for you or me or these characters that we're reading about in the Bible? Should we create a movement that we're forceful and we have all this power and authority? No, we have it in us. That's why we're the secret weapon out there. Yes, we are. And we've had pimps come up and they're not threatened by me, partially probably because I'm older and they're thinking, oh, she's just an older lady here. But they don't realize the power I have inside. Amen. And we see stuff happen. We walk in. When we walk into a room, right, and everything changes, you watch it. Either it's a room or it's out in the street. We've walked into programs where there's 5 and 6 girls sitting there, some of them detoxing from fentanyl. We'll be in a program, and all of a sudden, someone will come up the other night and say, I don't know what just happened to me. I don't know what just happened. Nothing even is said. We went to Be Well the other day, one of the new programs that the police are bringing people into so they don't crowd up the jails. And they call us now to go minister to the girls that are being brought in. And this one girl came in. She was all in the puzzle farm, talking about this and this and all sorts of incense and all of a sudden. And she stood there for a minute. And all of a sudden she goes, I don't know what's going on here. She goes, I don't want either one of you to leave. So we just sat back down. But that's what Jesus does. We didn't think that was going to happen. But we can't think, I can't go in there because I'm not her race. I'm not her age. I don't have that kind of a problem. Jesus will just send you in and the power in you will take care of it. He'll tell you what to say. You might just talk to her about what she's got on and that's a conversation. It's okay. People say, what do I say to people? Talk to them like a normal person. And it's amazing what can happen. We don't have, I remember one of my favorite pastors, pastor from years ago, Mike Palavaggi, said, don't be weird. The Holy Spirit can be weird. Don't be weird. Like, we don't have to, you know, but seriously, we can just go out. And telling people that we're from the church is not weird. It's the truth. We have every reason to be afraid when we go out because the things are stacked against us, but not with God. He says, I have gone with you, therefore go. The question is, do you believe that he's in you? Do you believe that you have that power and authority in you? And if you don't, then get back up here at the end of the service. No, I was in full-time ministry for 2 years and I didn't have the assurance of salvation. And I had somebody from Theo Lacey Jail, he was a chaplain, Steve Lowe, say, do you know, Laura, if you died today, would you go to heaven or not? And I was, for 1 minute, I just stopped in my tracks and I said, I don't think I would. And why would I say that? Because of the stuff that I thought was God was holding against me. Did that resonate with anybody in here? The stuff that I felt. I did my 12 steps. I got sober in AA. I believe in Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe in the steps. They're God-inspired. And more people in the churches should be doing those steps because they keep them accountable. Amen. But I thought there was a list that I told my sponsor. There was a list that I told people that I did of, but more about who I really was, not just what I did. Because sometimes we can wear what we did like a badge. There's a great song Bob Dylan has, and it says, "Take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see, right? I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door," right? He got it. "Take this label off of me," but I felt I was disqualified, and I was in full-time ministry. But somebody had enough to ask me the right question. Like, he probably thought, "I really like Lauren. She's got a lot of energy and passion, and we just love her, but does she know she's going to heaven?" No, I think he got it. And he'd been ministering to inmates for 30 years. I wasn't too hard of a project for him. And he asked me the question. And it changed everything for me. And then I got led to have assurance of salvation. You know, it'd be a great exercise for us this morning, wouldn't it? If we said, if you know today for sure, just do it mentally. Just do it mentally. If you know for sure right now, Jesus returned, walked right into his place, he returned. God, I like that Jesus thing up here today. He's coming in the clouds, right? Yeah, that's beautiful. He returns. If you know you're going to heaven, you're on this side of the room. Just know for yourself, if you absolutely without doubt. If you're not sure, you're standing in my area. If you're not sure, you're not sure you're going to heaven, you stand right here. And if you absolutely don't think you are, you're trying hard, you're going to church, you maybe been drugged here this morning, but you do not think you're going to heaven, you'd be standing over there. Check to see where you're standing. I stood here in the middle. And if you're in the middle, you don't have the assurance. If you don't know, you don't know. And God wants you to know. He wants you to know, because when you go out in authority and power, he says, "I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." He wants you to know that you don't have to worry. Like Psalm 91 says, if you dwell in the shelter of that Most High, you get to rest under the wings of the Almighty, and you'll say, "You are my God and my fortress in whom I'm going to trust." And it says that the fowler's snare is not even going to come near your tent. If you go with that knowledge, not just a bumper sticker, but in your gut and in your heart to know that that's the truth. So go back to where you're standing. If you stood here or you stood over there, come up after church and let's pray. It happened. It can happen like that. It changes everything. It changes your position. You don't want to be out in the mission field with someone that says, "I think we're going to be okay. I hope God shows up." I mean, this is true. I've been in it. And it doesn't make me any better. I've been to Ethiopia. I've been to Vietnam. I've walked into an orphanage where children are in cages. Cages. We had our twisters and our soccer balls and all our stuff to play with these kids. And it's a communistic country. And we were trying to give them wheelchairs and they shut that down. So we went to an orphanage. And I was leading this trip. It was about 10 years ago. I had the assurance of salvation then. And I walked in and we thought we were going to go play with these kids because our day got rerouted because they shut, the porch shut our wheelchairs down. So we had to regroup and we went to an orphanage in Cambodia. So we walk in, I got this group of people. Then you want to make sure who's on your team. Because you walk in and you just, you know, you see starving chickens out in the front, like a Tim Burton movie. And we walk in and these kids are in cages. And they're from 15 years old to, I don't know, maybe 650, 60, I don't know, but they couldn't walk. They were the dregs of society in Vietnam, and they put them away. And all of a sudden, we're standing there. Soccer balls, twister games, all that stuff didn't work. But you know what did work? I asked the Lord for backup. I said, "Man, I need backup right now." And I wanted to go. I wanted to leave. I didn't want to walk in there. And he just said, "Start worshiping." And we started singing some of those songs we learned when we grew up. And some of you went to Vacation Bible School, or we learned "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," or "What Lord Said to Noah, There's Going to Be a Flood." Get those. Yeah, some of you, any of this relating to any of you, any, you start busting out songs you didn't think you knew. And God will give them to you. And all of a sudden, our team of 15 was starting to sing those worship songs. And we started pulling those kids out of those cages, urine soaked, and holding them. And the problem happened was I didn't want to leave, and I didn't want to stay. But I do know one thing. On the way back, like Luke 10 talks about, we were all speechless. We were speechless. Nobody said, I need a snack. I need to make a phone call. I have this many posts on this. Nobody was talking about anything. Everybody was silent for 3 hours. Didn't even want to ask to stop to go to the bathroom. We didn't know where we were going to go. But it was silent because we had the hustle and the edge, and any arrogance on that trip was taken out of us. And I felt like God had sent us there. He was not mistaken on where he wanted us to go. And we walked in with confidence and authority. And the people that didn't on the trip, they ended, a couple of them went out and stood outside. And that was okay. That'll change their life too. There are many times when I was on a mission trip and I was the weak link. Yeah, I had to have someone sleep with me under a mosquito net. I was terrified, and I was one of the leaders. So I know how it feels to not have you, to not be that confident. But that's what he does. He wants to send us out, and he wants to move us out into the kingdom and do his work. I'm going to close with this. It's absolute abject poverty when we go out and we have to die of ourselves. And I think for me, that's one of the biggest parts of that message that comes in Luke 10 when he tells us, I'm going to send you out and I don't want you to take yourself seriously. And don't care who, pay attention to the leader, but it doesn't matter what your title is. You might be the title of a church. Like I might be on staff at a church, but this person that's running the mission trip, you pay attention to them. There's an authority thing. That's why I always love to bring Teen Challenge out in the mission field, because they respect leadership, and we went to Haiti, and they were incredible in Haiti. Worst place I've ever been in my life. But back to that abject poverty. If we get in touch and ask God to break our heart for what breaks yours. Just that basic. If you don't say it, break my heart for what breaks yours. And God will show you, we think he's going to take us here, but he's really going to have us go here. We didn't get to do the wheelchairs for 2 days, but we ended up going to an orphanage where kids were in cages, and we found a Vietnamese pastor who let us sneak up into his house in the top and open our Bibles. I'd never seen anything like it, because I just thought, as an arrogant American, that everyone had Bibles, and they told you we weren't going to have Bibles, and I thought, well, that really doesn't apply to us. Did any of you think that way? And then you go out there and you realize it's people don't have, they can't just open their Bibles anywhere. So we went upstairs to this little house and we prayed with Pastor Vu, and he thanked us for being there for his people, and he made sure that we had Bibles, and then he took them from us when we left because we weren't supposed to have them. But God looks from heavens and he determines who he's going to send. And where does he send us? And we need to trust him. Again, remember, these are no-name individuals being sent out. We never, ever hear about these 72 again. We don't hear about the 12. We don't hear about their names. They're unnamed band of ragtag people. They're average people. This is our group. And he needs us. Go therefore. I guess the thing to leave with is that the question is great, great essential truth that we leave here today, besides the fact where you stand, if you have the assurance of salvation. I think that was key for my life. And quit going through the motions if you don't know. It'll equip you and empower you. You won't rely on yourself anymore because you know God's already got you. But if you have to keep proving yourself or trying harder, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. But when you don't have to do that anymore, you can be available. But I think the essential truth is that this passage reminds us to remain true to the call. You are not called to sit in a church only. And we are not the church, told Pastor Joe before. We go to people who are on the verge of trusting him forever, and we point them to churches. We don't have a church on Sunday. We get to visit you this morning. Usually we are in our own churches. And some of us need churches. But we go out Monday through Friday and Saturday. So we point people to churches. But the church, it's the remaining of what is our call. So sitting in a church is not going to make you a Christian any more than they used to say sitting in a garage is going to make you a car. It's kind of dumb, but it's kind of true. And not that this isn't important. He encourages us to gather together and worship and pray. And then we get filled up so we can be sent out. We're called to gather. It's not, again, it's community. But we don't do this alone. Don't forgo the gathering of the saints. You are saints of God. So we want to remember that essential truth that we realize that the only one that is sending us has the authority and the power to sustain us and to direct us. Man, if God comes today, would we be glad where we are, what we're doing? We'll be out in the street sometimes, or we're out in a program, or we're out somewhere, we go to a place that's just tough, and everybody sits there with their arms crossed and stares at you like this, and the word of God doesn't change. And I'll get in the car with Lisa or with Irma or with Gail or something. We go, well, glad if Jesus returns right now, I'm feeling pretty good. Not that we're getting points, but I feel like I just went ahead and did what he called me to do, despite how I felt about myself, how they received me, what they thought about. You just do what God calls you to do. Amen? Amen. Okay, there you go.
That was awesome. Well, I know I'm fired up. I get these. It's always great to have a preacher, and good luck with that on second service. Hey, we're not going to receive the offering, but we have boxes here. We want to support this ministry. So whatever we give here this morning, the church will double it so that we can help support what they do, because it's a great work. But yeah, so they're there. We're gonna have the band come back out, but here's something I want to say. I'm gonna stand on this side because I know I'm going to heaven. Yeah, and it's because of what Jesus did, and that he loves me so much. He just loves me so much. I think I'm his favorite. And you ought to think that too about yourselves. And this is the last thing I want to say is, I was talking with Chris this morning because we're both in kind of a weird place about what does God want to do with us? Where are we going with all this? And he goes, well, what do you think? And I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I've been in full-time ministry 35 years. And I still don't know what I'm doing. You know, and that's a good thing. How many don't know what they're doing? What they're just don't know what's going on here. You know why God leaves us like that? This is what I have learned, is because it keeps us close to him. When you do know what you're doing, when you got your head, you know, you got it all laid out, you don't need God. But when you stay in the place of I don't know what I'm doing, it keeps you calling out to him. So if that's you today, we're going to sing a song to bless you guys. But I want to acknowledge that you're right in the right place. Stand up if that was you. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Okay, you people that are sitting, maybe you can help us. Okay, well, see, nobody knows what we're doing. Nobody knows what we're doing. That's the perfect place to be. It'll cause you to draw unto him. It'll cause you to call unto him, to stay close to him. And so never look, that's my word to you this morning, never look at that like it's a deficit, like it's a problem. And never fall for the lie that all these other people know. They all know what they're doing. They all know how this is going to roll. How come I'm the odd one? You're not the odd one. You're the special one. You're the three-year-old, as Laura would say, with your hand out. You know, you want to be 3 years old, because my grandson just turned 4, and he would always hold my hand, but now he's too cool for school. And now he doesn't need to hold my hand. But at 3, he held my hand. So stay at 3 with the Lord. Stay at 3 with the Lord. Hold on to him. So I'm going to pray for you guys right now, and then they're going to sing a blessing over you, and however Laura wants to do it. And so, Lord God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters. I thank you that you love them so much that you will not allow them to get away from not knowing what to do. You will not let them escape. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much effort we put into it, we keep finding ourselves in this same place that I don't know. And we thank you. Can you raise your hand today and just thank God for that? Because that's a great blessing of him to you. That's a great blessing. He's blessing you by keeping you there because it'll keep you close to him. It'll keep you calling out to him. It'll keep you humble. It'll keep you moldable. It'll keep you pliable. And then when he speaks, put your other hand up and say, I'll obey him. Even when it's super scary. Even when I don't understand. I will not let fear govern me. For you have promised you are with me. That you are for me. That you love me. And you have a plan and purpose for me. And it's good for me. And I am a difference maker. My life counts in this generation. And I thank you for that. Use me in spite of me. Help me. Stay close to me. And do what you must that I stay close to you. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Laura, did you want this? Or?
So we're going to invite the Northeast staff and volunteers. Going to have them come up here. We're actually going to model what we were talking about going now. So during this time, Northeast, we just want our staff and our team want to bless you. We just are going to be going around and literally placing hands and just laying this blessing over you. In this time, can I actually encourage you guys to just have your hands open to receive. To receive like that child. This blessing. Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward shine upon you, be gracious to you, Lord, turn his face toward you, and give you peace, amen, amen, children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you.
He's with you, he's with you.
In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. For you, he is for you.
shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. One last time. The Lord bless you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
We just ask as we go about our ways that we are just touched every single day by you, God. Whether it's just waking up in the morning and saying, God, thank you for a new day. Thank you for the breath in my lungs, Lord. Use me today to glorify you in every way. And Lord, may you protect my mind and my heart and my spirit today, Lord. And as I go forward in each day, we love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless.